Welcome back. We got a big 7 o'clock hour. A little later in the hour, Ben Simmons is experiencing a bad week. He's having a bad week. He may have lost the girlfriend, and apparently now his new teammates don't want to play with him either.
What a thing going on up there.
Ooh. On the line right now is a man. I would like to begin, Al, by offering a thank you to Mr. Howard Eskin.
All right.
He's a team guy, and he helped us line up Dick Vermeil yesterday because he was at the ceremony in Canton. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest of all time, Mr. Howard Eskin. Hi, Howard.
Good morning. Team player is what it's all about, right?
You're damn right. And that was teamwork, and I really appreciate you doing that, man.
Dick is a terrific guy. He's so busy, but he took time out for you guys, for everybody.
It helped that you asked. So can I just start with that? What was that like being there, Howard? What was it like when Dick gave that speech?
You know, it was the whole weekend was great. The gold jacket ceremony on Friday night, obviously emotional. And I don't know if that was on TV because I was there, but each new Hall of Famer coming in greeted all the other Hall of Famers that they introduced before already wearing the gold jackets. And it took some time before they walked up the aisle and onto the stage. Dick took it, looked like a day and a half. He hugged everybody so much. He was so happy being there that it was... It felt good for him that he was so – everybody's excited when you go into the Hall of Fame, but he was so excited. And then, obviously, the ceremony was great. He had a party on Saturday night after the ceremony. It was great. He greeted everybody. He took more pictures with everybody. It was he was so genuinely happy and excited to see everybody. It was a – It was a great moment to be there, and I'm really happy that I took the drive up there and went, and then actually saw BART of History coming back, the Flight 93 Memorial, which I don't know that I would have ever seen that before. So
that's cool.
It's like 15 minutes off the highway. I'm telling you, it was eerie, and I actually cried a little bit when I listened to the recordings. I know I'm getting off track here.
That's a great trip. I didn't even think of that. That's that close. Wow.
Yeah, it's 15 minutes off the highway. It's right about in the middle between here and Canton. And you heard the recordings of the people calling home, leaving their messages on their voice machine to basically say goodbye. And it brought tears to my eyes.
All right, so while you're driving, it's a long drive back.
Yeah.
Knowing how close you have been with Pete Rose, are you getting told that things are not working out great on his return to Scissors Bank Park?
Well, I saw a tweet of the comment he made, and obviously I knew it wasn't good, and it was bad. I mean, it just wasn't good. So, you know, I was disappointed. I missed seeing the guy, the 80 team. They were my guy. That was the best experience that I've ever been to covering or anything else was the 80 Phillies. And then when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I told Mike Schmidt, I said, Mike, you were number one. Your team was number one for all those years, but you're now number two. But I kind of missed that, but I'm glad I was at Dick Vermeil's. Number one, I was glad I was at the Hall of Fame for Dick Vermeil. I wasn't unhappy after I heard what happened. When I heard what happened on Sunday. So,
Howard, are you still close with Pete? Do you still talk to him?
I talked to him a few months ago. He was in town, but I went to see a bunch of guys. There was guys that I hadn't seen for a long. I mean, even Greg Jeffries, who was almost like he was here for a cup of coffee.
Right.
And I talked to him because I got along with him. But Schmidt was at this event, and so was Julius Erving, and Pete was there. Ozzie Smith, who I got to know. Do I stay in touch with him? Once in a long while. If I text him, it's usually about something.
Howard,
but no, I guess I really don't.
Here's the thing. You are as good as anyone the city's ever had at asking the tough question. Did someone need to ask him, since he had been disinvited in 17, about the fact that that sexual issue with the underage woman was the reason he never made it up on the Wall of Fame? That's a valid question to ask him, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is absolutely a valid question. obviously the Phillies made a mistake. You have to make him available because everybody asks.
Okay.
So at some point you have to make him available. Maybe the day before, but I don't know. What's really a shame is it took away from the celebration of the 80 Phillies because nobody's going to talk about that.
Yeah.
They're only going to talk about the situation with Pete Rose. So it's certainly a valid question, and it's his. You know, he could have gotten by it very easy. Hey, listen, I'm here to celebrate the 80 team. At some point, if you want to talk about that, we will. But I really like to concentrate on this, you know, the celebration of what was a World Series here in Philadelphia, and then move on. And that would be the end of it.
Well, people are all struggling now who loved him because of these all this backstory and of the way he behaved. Howard, is it still okay to be a fan of Pete Rose, or do you have to question yourself now based on what he did and the things that he said this weekend?
Well, here's, and I've been thinking about this since I, you know, left the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, and I'm thinking about, you know, he treated me great. He treated your former boss great because he was a little kid at the time, and he treated us great, but then you got to look at, you know, the situation of who he is and what he is. And I know he was not good to a lot of people, and that was just totally inappropriate. But without Pete Rose, the Phillies don't win a World Series in 1980. So that's what they would absolutely not have won that World Series. They wouldn't even gotten there. So that's what you kind of struggle with. And it's, at this point, I'm trying to move on from that and not think about, because you just mix the two, and it really is not a good mix to think about one and not think about the other, or think about the other and not think about the World Series. So, but I would understand how people bail on Pete as a fan of Pete Rose, but it was really just, it was a bad moment for Pete, it was a bad moment for the Phillies, and it took away from what that day was supposed to be about. And that's really the sad part of the whole thing.
Howard, you made a very good decision last weekend going to Canton. You really did, Howard.
I know. It's just, and there's so many guys that I haven't seen that I wanted to see. And, but then, you know, but I get to see, you know, Schmidt comes in every weekend when they're home. I see Boa all the time. You know, I see, you know, other guys that were on that 80 team. And I just kind of said, but Dick Vermeil, the fact that Dick Vermeil invited me to his Hall of Fame ceremony out of respect for Dick. I'll give you a quick story about Dick. When, you know, earlier in my career, when I was doing talk radio, and I did it on FM years ago, he did not like me a little, tiny, little bit because I criticized him for working players so hard. And the practices were so long. I said, when this team starts losing, they are going to bail on this guy. Herm Edwards comes out of a meeting one time. He says, man, what'd you do to coach? I said, what are you talking about? He says, you're talking out of your rear end. Don't listen to that guy. So, and then my first day in television, September 20th, 1982, I was at the head table. It was a luncheon at that time of the Maxwell Club. He buried me in front of everybody. Buried. I mean, literally. And then we worked together doing the pregame for preseason games when I was at Channel 3. He didn't want to work with me. And then over time, I think he realized my job is my job. And we're now really good friends. I've been to his house. We've been out to dinner. He'll text me when I'm on the air. It's such a different dynamic. And then he invites me to his Hall of Fame ceremony. I said to Trent Green, who was his quarterback at one time, you know, I told him the story. He says, yeah, he did work us an awful lot.
that's
problem.
Great stuff. Howard, good job. I appreciate your help on that. I lined him up, and I appreciate your thoughts on Pete today. Thanks,
yeah,
Howard.
No problem. You guys have a great day.
Howard.
I'm headed to practice.
Yep, headed to practice.
9 o'clock.
Back
what?
To time. It's early today because of the heat. Brian's up from Pottstown. Hi, Bri.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What are you feeling right now, Brian? You like A.J. Brown?
Here's the thing, guys. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't know too much about A.J. Brown. I just hear that a lot of people compare him to T.O. And anybody that's like T.O., I'm all for it. You know, T.O. was one of the best receivers we ever had. So if you compare A.J. Brown.
All right, hold on. I have a Marcus Hayes here, and he can describe A.J.'s style. What are we going to see from A.J. this year, Marcus?
You're going to see him beat up cornerbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to see him be physical. He's going to embrace physicality at the line, and you're going to see him as like an intermediate weapon that Jalen Hurts can lean on that opens up other intermediate weapons and maybe something deep.
It's awesome. Brian, you would look amazing in a A.J. Brown jersey, Brian.
You know what I look like?
Oh, well, I'm going to tell you what you look like. Right now, I would say you're six.
Hold on. Hey, Rhea.
Hello.
See, he's smooth, too. He's smooth. He's got the moves, too. Right. Do you have a spliff right now that you have lit up?
Don't ask no dumb questions.
Anyway, Brian, it's legal in a lot of states now. Brian, would you please give me a person who goes by initials as their first name?
Okay, here's a killer answer and a winner. O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson wow. has to be considered. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am now taking a look at our colleague here, Mr. Daniel Wilson.
Yeah.
Dan is eating the John Kruk diet.
He's through the steak.
He has eaten the entire big, juicy that New York sirloin
so
from Del Frisco Double Eagle Steakhouse. Now, Al, he is working his way through the baked potato. Dan, how are we doing so far here?
Yeah, I'm through the entire steak, like you said, halfway through the baked potato. Everything tastes delicious. I'm
now, can
my
I tell you,
yeah.
I'm just looking at you, and Marcus can confirm, your face seems a little more drawn now. It looks like you've lost a pound or two. Like you're losing.
I can feel it, yeah.
You're losing right now, Al. He appears to be losing his double chin. He's got like a chin and three quarters right now.
Magical diet.
It's to be fair, there's not much jaw there.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's 7:23 right now, and LHR Park's coming up at the top of the hour. Dr. Joe Fish will be on, Al, to try to deal with the people that can't handle the fact
Heroes.
That their hero, Pete Rose, is a creep.
Yeah.
And he will deal with that later at the 8 o'clock hour. But, wow, lots of news on Ben Simmons, Al.
It's unbelievable.
Lots of news on Ben Simmons. Let me try to do this chronologically, all right? Over the weekend, Al, very sad reports, rumors, that Ben Simmons and Maya Jama, his spokesmodel UK TV sensation, they were engaged.
Yes.
But it appears, Al, that they are no longer romantically involved.
Hmm.
Now, she is saying that is not true.
Yeah, she's denying.
But what we can confirm is she does not like living in America, and he does not like living.
In Europe.
Anywhere. He's a miserable jerk. All right, but anyway, bottom line is, Al, while she went back to the UK, she might have bumped into, in London, James Harden and his new best buddy, Kevin Durant.
She's a bad Maya Jama.
Now, Marcus Hayes.
Yes, sir.
James Harden supposedly had a breach with Kevin Durant, which led to his trade to Philadelphia. Well, now they're vacationing together in London. So I guess they are still pretty good friends?
I think the issue was Kyrie Irving more than anything
Irving,
else.
That whack job.
Right. And you know,
yeah.
James Harden has a finite window.
Yeah.
You know, an endless appetite, but a finite window in which to win. And if Kyrie Irving is going to be a clown, James Harden knows he can't win without Kyrie Irving and only with Kevin Durant. And he wanted to be here anyway. I mean, according to him, he wanted to be here more than he wanted to be in New Jersey when he was in Houston.
So here's the twist of it. So Kevin Durant, while James didn't want to be with Kyrie, it's now starting to look like Kevin Durant doesn't want to be with either Kyrie or Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Because Kyrie and Ben Simmons are still in Brooklyn.
Right.
So there, Rick Boucher, who is he works for Fox. He's their analyst on NBA.
Right.
He says that before the final game, before they were swept by the Celtics, the Nets players held a Zoom conference. So they got all the players out there and they're talking and they want to know because Ben is flirting with being able to play and not play the game the whole year.
Yep.
And they went, well, maybe he'd come in now and save our season. And so, well, let me get Rick will explain to you what happened next.
Ben Simmons
they're having a team chat before game four, thinking he's going to play against the Boston Celtics. And from what I'm told, Ben just left the chat. They asked him, are you going to play? Ben left the chat. Like, he didn't even answer the question, just left the chat. And Katie's like, this is what I signed up. Like, this is who I'm playing with?
So here's the thing. So let's, Al, so I'm guessing if it's a Zoom, then his head disappears from the screen?
Yeah.
He hit a button or something.
Well, I don't think it was a Zoom. I think it was just a chat.
A group text chat.
All right, Ben, are you playing tonight? Ben, are you playing tonight? Ben, are you there? Ben, where are you? Ben Simmons! And he wasn't there, Al, and he didn't play.
No.
Now, Durant, as a result of him not being thrilled with either Irving or Simmons, has now told the ownership of the Nets, either trade me or fire the GM.
And the coach.
And the coach. you have a choice here. You could trade me out of this hole, or you could get rid of the people running it, so in effect, I will then be running. Marcus, is that a power play or what?
Well, I mean, you put the owner in a situation where he then has to trade you, because he certainly can't be told over and over again, trade the coach or fire the coach and fire the general manager.
They fired the last coach, right? Yeah. Didn't Durant do that?
What a mess.
And Ben Simmons has not played a basketball game in over 14 months.
Wow.
Oh, my God, what a mess. Al, I have a feeling he won't succeed in Brooklyn either.
I don't even know if there'll be a Brooklyn.
Oh, my God, what a mess. And here's why, Al, if they do indeed fire the GM, Sean Marks, I propose they restore our friend Billy King to that spot.
What are you doing to Billy? Billy's got a good life going.
The only thing that held Billy back before was that Russian guy. Billy was doing fine till the Russian guy showed up.
They will hire Brett Brown.
I will say that.
You know, Al, that's perfect. Oh, Ben, good news. We got your babysitter back.
I will say, any general manager who acquires Kyrie Irving, that's a fireable offense.
Yeah, that is a disaster waiting to happen. That's what's going on. Al, that's not a good week.
Oh, no, it's great.
It appears that he has lost both his girlfriend and his superstar.
Yeah.
It's not a good week.
And the league has an issue with, like, it's already perceived that the players run everything.
Yeah.
This is a complete joke.
No, I believe if they get rid of the president or the owner or the coach and all those people, they should name Kevin Durant. The coach and GM.
Well, the owner did take to Twitter and said, I support my staff.
Yeah, that's very dynamic.
They'll be fired later today.
Yeah.
LeBron's been running teams for years.
I know he has. But this one seems more blatant. Yeah. That's all we're saying.
This guy might be a better player right now.
John's on the line from the city. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today?
John, did you watch the replay of the Phillies' victory yesterday on NBC Sports Philadelphia?
No, I did not watch it, but I did read about the missing sixth inning.
A whole inning was missing.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, it was the inning Pete Rose was in the booth. Go figure. Boy, these coincidences, they're amazing, John.
That's good editing.
Let's edit Pete right out of the show. Go ahead, John.
Listen, I just want to talk a little bit about the Phillies and this time of year along with the Eagles. I mean, you know, this is actually becoming a really exciting part of, part or time of year for sports in Philadelphia, because we haven't had this in a long time, where the Phillies are actually in a legitimate run for a wild card, and the hype surrounding the Eagles is so far, the expectations are so high that you can't help but be excited in the city of Philadelphia. And I hope this continues with the Phillies. I mean, Tatianos and Real Muto, bats are coming alive, Hoskins is hot. So, I mean, this has got the makings of an exciting finish.
It does. September. Actually, they've been in this spot without expectations. Like, they've been in first place this late or right there.
Well, I just did research, and I wrote a column about it today.
Ooh!
They haven't been this good this late since 2018. They haven't been 12 games over in August since 2018. The perception is they were pretty good going into September's, but the reality was the race was just horrible.
Yeah,
so hold on. Marcus, you're a columnist. John's on something. This September is going to be phenomenal.
Well, here's the thing.
Pennant race and Eagles, much anticipated start of the season.
Dan, if he's not going to pass out over here, might be able to back me up on this. I think they have one series, there are two series, both against the Mets, and they're the only series against a winning team until like the second or third week of September.
Wow.
Reds.
And all this is going on, and Joe Girardi's saying, how the hell's that guy 19 games over 500, and I was 7 under 500. Wait, but, John, is he looking at that and going, man, I stink at managing?
I mean, he's looking at that and saying something.
Well, I mean, honestly, don't you think, Al, that he's doing some soul-searching?
I think Yankee fans are wondering how many rings they would have won if he hadn't been there.
Yeah, honestly, he may be an awful manager. Really bad.
And he had Segura and Harper healthy.
Yeah.
Segura got hurt the day before he got fired.
Isn't that amazing?
So the best right-handed hitter and best left-handed hitter were healthy for
him. Wow. John, I need somebody with the initials that they use for first name.
A.J. Green.
A.J. Green, another very good receiver, Al. Steve is up next from the Northeast. Hi, Steve.
Angelo, how are you and everybody? How's everyone doing?
Everyone's fine, Steve. What do you want to talk about?
Good. I have a solution for your angst about number 11, Angelo.
All right, very what do I
easy.
Do?
Very, very easy. The quarterback on the champion Eagles from 1960, Norm Van Brocklin, wore number 11.
Okay.
There you go.
So, all right, Dinko, why didn't they retire it? He won a champion. He was a quarterback. They didn't retire his number?
That is correct. He was not with the Eagles more than a couple of seasons, if that. He was with them in 1960.
Okay.
I was only 11 at the time. I don't know how long he was with them before the championship season.
All right, but here's the problem. If I'm picturing Norm Van Brocklin, then I'm going to have to picture A.J. Brown with a leather helmet. That was 50-some years ago, right? And I got to picture him in Kelly green because the green was different in 1960, right?
Very, very, very true. Very
right,
true.
That's a good way to look at it. Steve, do you want Wentz to succeed in Washington?
Really doesn't make a difference to me as long as he loses to the Eagles two times a year.
Very nice, Steve. Steve, give me somebody with initials for their name.
B.J. Thomas.
Oh, B.J. Raindrops keep falling on my head. Now, Al, I have to ask you a question. Am I a bad person?
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
Rhea, never mind. Get him out of here. Rhea. I honestly, when, like, Ben Sim.
Yeah.
Right? And I was listening to John Johnson overnight.
Oh, he must have been in.
John Johnson wouldn't have been happier if he won that lottery last week for, like, $10 billion. Dollars. Yep. Oh, Ben Sim, there's trouble in Brooklyn. Oh, everybody hates Ben. He couldn't have been pleased. And I'm like that. Everything, like Wentz right now, the reports out of Washington is he's having a bad camp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's making me happy.
Okay.
Does that make you a bad person?
No, because first of all, Wentz was a phony, so deserves everything that happens to him. Ben Simmons only cares about Ben Simmons. That's it.
All right, so it's okay to feel negative towards
It's okay to feel negative towards those people. Like, I'm not one of those ones where, you know, if an athlete leaves town and goes to another team, I automatically root against them.
Yeah.
If I like them, I root for them unless they're playing a team that I like.
Okay. Well,
do you know what this is called?
What's it called?
It's called schadenfreude.
Ah, yes.
Schadenfreude. That's a fancy word.
What? Yes, yeah. You should have it tattooed on your forehead.
What does it mean?
It means you derive pleasure from other people's misfortune.
That's very true. Schadenfreude?
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. I have schadenfreude.
Well, that's cool, I guess.
So. I'm going to hope to get some medication next week.
Well, I don't even
matter. Speaking of that, let's see how Dan Wilson's doing right now. He's on the John Kruk diet, Al. He had a large piece of meat. Then he had two lobster tails. Now, did you finish the baked potato, Daddy?
Just about. I got some skin, if that counts. But no.
No, you don't have to eat the skin.
Okay, then I'm through the potato.
And now you're down to what's left?
I need two ears of corn and the lobster tail.
All right. Are you feeling okay?
I'm feeling great.
You are feeling great.
Feeling
Do
good.
You think you've lost weight?
I think I've lost at least 3 to 4 pounds.
3 to 4 pounds already, Al. The lobster tail will take away that last pound.
Man.
All right. Well, he will finish this meal soon, and then we will reweigh him. And if this works, then everyone out there today should eat lobster steak and lose weight.
If it does, we're all going to Del Frisco's later.
215-592-9494. Since I can root against people, Al, I'm going to tell you who I'm rooting against, who is on the Eagles roster right now.
Schadenfreude.
And we have, yes, I will demonstrate my schadenfreude. And then, Al, we have exclusive, a call made from Larry Anderson to Tom McCarthy. Ooh. Right after the sixth inning on Sunday.
The missing sixth inning?
The missing sixth inning. What did L.A. tell T-Mac? Welcome back at 7:42. Coming to the top of the hour is our football guy, Elliot Shore Parks. Dr. Fish is on to try to help the people that still love Pete Rose.
Right.
Because you have a mental problem, and we're hoping we can fix it for you. But, Bria, I don't know who spent their time better yesterday, me or Al.
Okay.
Al Morgan.
Yes.
In that 102-degree heat index day, played 18 holes of golf.
Yeah. Nuts, Al.
That's torture.
No,
did you use the cart or did you walk?
No, I never use a cart.
You walked the 18 holes.
Yes.
You need mental help yourself.
He's a hockey guy.
I don't care. That's horrible.
What'd you do after?
Well, afterwards, before that, I took a short bike ride because it was hot.
Well, you had to warm up.
Bike ride in 18 holes in the heat.
You had to loosen up.
Well, yeah, but it was that. If you hydrate, you're fine.
You just have
to hydrate. What did you do?
Find some shade.
All right, well, here's what I did.
Okay.
And this kind of leads to the segment, Joe. I did not do that. Joe Wecht has got a one-track mind.
Of course he does.
And it's sick. Uh-huh. All right, anyway, what I did, Al, is get out the Eagles depth chart.
What?
Now, keep in mind, 67 degrees, climate controlled in my living room.
All right, and what did you do?
I was trying to figure out whether or not Jalen Reagor is gone. Because I don't like him.
That's how you spent your day.
That was my day.
So where is he on the depth chart?
I played the numbers game.
All right.
Because normally an NFL team will keep either five or six wide receivers.
Now, is this the depth chart for the game?
Wide receivers.
Okay, so it's not just the game.
It's posted.
All right,
Al. For the roster.
Okay.
Now, here we go. So I know if he is seventh or later, there's no way he can make the team.
Okay.
And I would like him to be at least seventh or later.
All right.
So I'm crunching it. A.J. Brown, in. Devontae Smith, in. Quez Watkins, in. Ooh. Zach Pascal, in. They're all automatic. Marcus, all those four are locks to be on the roster, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
I mean, either because they made a lot of money for them, they're all going to make the team.
They're good.
Now, let's get to where we get near the bubble.
All right?
Greg Ward, dependable, solid, not great, but okay, right? Greg Ward. New kid who is dazzling in training camp. I like his name, too. Britton Covey.
Okay.
Britton Covey, Rhea, we're hearing good things about, correct?
Yeah, he's a training camp hero.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention John Hightower.
Right.
Or the hurdler, Devin Allen. Al, there's no way that Reagor isn't sixth or seventh. Ward is better than Reagor, isn't he? Covey is better
than Reagor. Now, who's special team? Like, when they have to use
him. Yeah, they could use.
He stinks at special teams. What did he ever do?
Reagor, right?
Yeah. Reagor stinks at that. Marcus Hayes, you know more than we do. Is Jalen.
Low bar.
Shut up. Marcus Hayes, is Reagor going to make the team?
Yeah, I think he will.
No way.
Money.
In what role?
Yep. Money.
Yep.
Just because they first round pick, third year, let's give him another shot.
Look, Greg Ward, who I like.
He's better than him.
Was targeted 11 times last year. They don't like him.
What about Britton Covey?
I got to tell you, there's no investment there.
I'm loving what I'm seeing from this Covey.
And honestly, Reagor had a couple of good days of practice last week.
Yeah. Well, he made a couple of big plays, but he always does that, and then he drops the easy ones.
Yes.
Do you like him?
Like, as a player?
Yeah.
No, I would have probably not had him on my team midway through last year.
There it is. I'm telling you, this is the year.
I don't have the ego issue that the Eagles often have.
I know they do.
With guys they draft, especially first rounders.
And he's got family tie issues, too, because the wide receiver coach is connected to Monty Reagor. No. Do we want Reagor out or not out?
Yeah, can Covey make it just on the basis of returns?
Yes.
Dan, we're going to do the question. We're going to switch it. Do you want the Eagles to cut Jalen Reagor this preseason? Right, that's the new question, yes or no. But here is the final read on our first question. Let's see who the people are voting for.
Brought to you by Armin Chevrolet. Brand new Equinox SUVs in stock. Excellent Armin rebates and lease offers available now. Find new roads. Shop 24/7 at ArminChevy.com. Which new Eagle are you most excited about? 1% James Bradbury. 5% Hassan Reddick. 34% Jordan Davis, 60% say A.J. Brown.
Wow, that's amazing. 1% Bradberry? Bradberry is a stud.
Right, mm-hmm. But it's crazy that a rookie defensive tackle who probably won't start.
Yeah.
What, got 34%?
34%. Because they love big guys.
And they love, Philadelphia loves defense.
Yes, they really do. And they like the guys in the middle of
the
line.
Oh, the video of him, I had students have one
people
video.
People are dying to see this.
I want to see this.
I have a feeling by the end of the year, he'll get more snaps than Fletcher Cox.
Oh.
That's what I'm thinking. Andy from, Andy from Deptford's on the line.
What?
Previously Andy the Troll.
Oh, AKA.
Not that way anymore. Hi, Andy.
Angie, morning, buddy. How we doing?
Well, Andy, I've run into a problem. I wanted you to have a debate with Mad Mike, but ever since I proposed it, Mad Mike disappeared. He's afraid of you.
Hey, man. Well, you know what? Mad Mike needs to be afraid. You need to make that happen, though.
I'm trying. Can't. He won't contact. We're trying to reach him. He's ducking me and you because he knows what I want him to do. I want him to come in the studio with you, have it out, two top callers. Let's see who wins.
Well, we know he's not giving him positive sound bites on Howie, the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, or anything else Philly sports related. So we know that's out of the question with that clown.
Right, but you are prepared on a minute's notice to come in here and clean his clock. Is that right, Andy?
You kidding me?
There it
all
is.
Day, every day, and twice on Sunday, I'll clean him up.
Well, on Sunday, we're not here. But if you do that, that's it's your own time, whatever
be,
you feel.
Good radio.
All right, but I got to tell you something, Andy. In all honesty, I want this to happen. If Mad Mike is out there, anybody knows where he is, would you please have him call in so I can arrange this?
Hey, Mad Mike, in the words of the king, if you're scared, get a dog, cuz.
Get a dog.
Yo, Ange,
yep.
Isn't it crazy we had two extremes this weekend with our sports? We had Dick Vermeil, he gets it, right? And then you got this clown like Pete Rose. He just doesn't get it. It's
not
crazy.
At all. Not at all.
But you know what, though? You look at fans and how we put these guys on pedestals. I mean, we've been doing it for years. It's not just Pete Rose. I mean,
right, I'm losing you there, Andy. You got to give me somebody with initials. Who you got? Lost them.
Oh. Do you know that Kurt Schilling has checked in on the Pete Rose?
Oh, please. Oh, my God. Please.
You're going to be surprised and amused by it. So he responded to Alex Coffey's tweet that she put out, you know, that said it was 55 years ago, the original tweet she put out. And Kurt said, I say this as someone who knows him, who he treated kindly, but the things he says and his lack of self-awareness are unreal. Hall of Fame talent, absolutely. But just a bad, bad guy with literally zero morals or scruples and not an ounce of couth.
Can you say projection?
That everything he wrote, he could have written about himself.
It's like he looked in the mirror and said, right. let me do some autobiographical stuff here.
Marcus, next year, on Alumni Weekend, the Phillies will honor the 1993 Macho Row Phillies. Will they invite Lenny Dykstra?
I think so, yeah.
That you know the Mets disinvited him.
They did disinvite him because he's a Pete Rose, a younger version. Will they invite Kurt Schilling?
Probably yes.
Al, I'm coming out of retirement that
Pete
week.
Pete Rose was banned from baseball.
I know, but these guys,
these Schilling's on the Wall of Fame, TV. Right?
Dykstra was in prison.
But he's no longer in prison.
All right. And Kurt Schilling couldn't be more persona non grata.
He's on their wall. Is he not on their Wall of Fame?
Schilling is?
I think so, isn't he?
I don't know. I think he might have.
I don't know. Mike Sielski wrote a fascinating column yesterday.
Yeah.
And he said, let me explain the problem with the Wall of Fame. This is about 125 years of Philly.
It was actually sad. It's sobering.
They don't have enough stars.
Lieberthal?
They have been so bad for so long. That they are putting people on a wall who would never normally be put on a wall.
Yeah.
They're not that
good. You have
to
put someone in every year?
The Lieberthal out was not a Wall
of
Famer.
That wall's so unimpressive that Abreu would go near.
He said, no, Abreu's on it.
Oh.
They did put Abreu in it. Oh, they did. But they did. Kurt Schilling is not on the wall.
Oh, he's not?
I think Schilling is. 2013, he was put on the Wall of Fame, and last year there was a campaign to take him off.
Oh, that, now,
I'm in support of that campaign.
What a wall.
That's a wall. No, seriously, Al, that's
wall
not a
shame.
Good wall.
Yes, yeah.
That's not a good wall.
The
they need, Mike Sielski's right, they need a better wall.
We need to interview that wall.
TJ's up next. He uses initials. Hi, TJ. Oh, something's going on.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hi, TJ. Why do you go with initials, TJ?
Well, growing up as a kid, I had a lot of friends named Tyler as well. Oh, like really close friends. I would hang out with my family.
Tyler what? What's the J?
Joseph.
Tyler Joseph.
That's
a good name.
I like TJ, though.
Yeah.
Tyler's a good name.
And I do want to thank you guys. You guys pass the time in the morning. I'm Ubering before my son wakes up, make a little extra money. Want to appreciate you guys go a long way for a lot of people in the morning.
All right, thank you. What did you name your son?
My son is actually 14 months. Super, super, super excited to get down to the first game Friday for him. Me and my father have season tickets in section 109, six rows behind the tunnel where they come out. Super excited. Friday will be his first game. His name's Mason Joseph Hedrick.
MJ. MJ. Very cool.
Yep.
All right, what did you want to say about the birds, Teej?
Well, the birds, I mean, I'm super excited. A.J. Green's a great addition. I know they're great friends, him and Hurts.
Yep.
But I know that I don't want that to get too big of an issue down the road. If something doesn't click, I don't want that to become toxic and then affect the field as well, which I don't know if anybody thought could possibly happen, but I'm sure we've seen it happen before, and it could. So,
I am fascinated to see if this is the missing link to Jalen Hurts' success. To have a guy, go-to guy, big third down. Marcus said earlier, Rager's going to be better now. I mean, not Rager. I'm sorry.
Goddard. Yeah,
Goddard is going to be better now. The other guys will improve, but TJ, third and seven, you're looking for the big guy, crossing pattern, breaks it for a big play, and we're all going, wow, Hurts is fine now. You know, maybe you just need the right guys to throw it to, and we're going to find that out.
Yep, and I agree, but again, sometimes it doesn't always happen, so we can't let that get involved between the two of them. Enough of it's personal. It's all on the field. Let's go get the job done, and if that's the case, I think we'll be all right. We're going to have a great season to look forward to. It's nine games, nine home games this year, guys. I can't wait.
Oh, that's right. We get the extra home game out. If I don't get my 8.5 bet, man, I'm going to really be in a bad mood. I'll tell you that, Al. That's one of the easiest bets.
You should leave
bets.
Then, yeah.
You know what? I will. I'll leave.
Yes.
Maybe I'll leave when I get to 9 wins. So at that point, I'll make so much money from the bet, I won't need the money from the last couple of weeks. All right, TJ, give me somebody who goes by the initials.
All right, so since you're not the one judging, and I believe Al is, correct?
Yes.
I know he's a hockey guy. I'm going to go with TJ Oshie.
All right, Oshie. Put him down. That's a good one, Teej. He likes TJ.
TJ got TJ.
All right, let me go back to Dan Wilson. Dan Wilson appears to me, Al, to be struggling.
Yeah, he is.
This is taking an hour to eat a steak, a lobster, two baked potatoes, and what do you have? Two ears of corn. What are you eating right now?
Yeah, so I'm finishing the lobster as we speak, and it's just going to be the two ears of corn. I called a bit of an audible. I thought I was going to go lobster last, went lobster, now I'm going corn.
But you're going corn with, that's a lot of starch at the back end of the meal.
I'm aware, yeah.
You are aware of that?
I'm aware.
Are you feeling good?
I'm feeling great.
Are you feeling full?
No, not yet.
Are you feeling like you're losing 5 pounds?
I would say I'm going to lose 10 pounds.
All right,
anything.
Now when he weighed in, he weighed in at 195.6. We expected to be 190.6.
Yeah.
And the John Kruk diet.
I don't understand it.
I don't either. I've never seen it. He said it. I didn't say it.
Okay.
215-592-9494. Let's go to Eagles Trading Camp with Elliot Shaw Park.